Good afternoon. You're listening to Glenn Coble and the show, A Progressive Life. And we're going to be talking about several of the things that have been going on nationwide today. And we'd love to hear from you if you'd care to give us a call. We'd like to hear you. It's 740-383-9944. And Scott and I have had an interesting morning. This is our 10th anniversary. It's our 6th anniversary. I hope I'm around for our 10th anniversary. It's our 6th anniversary here at WWGH. And we've had a lot of good times. And Scott and I were talking off the air. And I said, have you done over 100 interviews with famous people? And he looked at me and shrugged and said, 100? And I think he was pushing towards more like 1,000. He's done a ton of interviews. Scott's a very good interviewer and gets a lot of people on that very few places get on, especially today he had Dick Cavett on. I really enjoyed watching the Dick Cavett show, and it was very interesting to listen to Dick Cavett. He sounds pretty much the same, and he was very effusive about Scott's interview abilities, and Scott does have those indeed. I'm about twice his age, and I have about half of his ability to interview people. But we both agree on one thing: interviewing is mainly listening. If you're interviewing somebody, you should be listening to them more than talking. You're interviewing them, they're not interviewing you. So that's probably a pretty good rule of thumb. If you're a budding interviewer, let's say you're 14 years old and you want to become an interviewer, the first skill to learn is listen. Learn to listen, and that will really help you out, because the questions that you ask come from what you're listening to, and believe me, people will know if you don't know who you're talking to and you don't know anything about the interview because you ask stupid questions. And but you should always be listening to your interviewee while they're giving you the information. Hey, and anytime you want to tune in and listen to some of those interviews, you can go to you can listen to them on WWGH Radio Live on any mobile device just by downloading the TuneIn app and searching for WWGH, and you can listen to everything. You can even listen to my show if you care to. I know there are a few people that do like to listen to my show, and I appreciate that. We thank you so much. Anytime you want to call in, like I said, 740-383-9944, you're more than welcome to call in. We're going to try to do Swap Shop tomorrow. As you all know, Swap Shop is kind of hit or miss because of the coronavirus. It's more miss than hit. But we're going to continue it on, and I'm going to be doing some interesting, not trivia, but you know, people are always using letters anymore instead of using words like LOL, laugh out loud, and various other ones. Well, I'm going to go over, I think, about 50, a little over 50 of those abbreviations, for lack of a better term, Facebook abbreviations. We're going to go over those tomorrow, so you'll be cool, just like all the other great kids. And it may help you, because sometimes you use the wrong letters and you're saying something either that you don't want to say or something that might be a little off color. It's 12:23 here at WWGH. You're listening to Glenn Coble on A Progressive Life, and let's talk about some of the things that are going on in the world today. And actually, for the last 2 weeks, we've been undergoing kind of a transformation. People are starting to talk about our police. And I've hang on one second. Had to get that cough out of there. People are talking about a thing that they call defunding the police department. So I've had people call in and ask me about that. Do you think that's a good idea, a bad idea? Well, quite frankly, I had not heard of that idea until very recently. And when I first listened to it, defunding the police doesn't sound like a good idea. But the fact is that I listened to several programs, both from the right side and the left side, and the defunding of police doesn't sound like what I thought it was initially. I don't like the idea of taking the money away from the police departments and just letting us roam free without any controls or anything like that. I don't want to have people, well, we have people drive down my street at 50 or 60 miles an hour, and it's a 25-mile-an-hour speed limit, but I don't want to go out on the highways and have people doing 120 while I'm pulling my trailer at 55. I want there to be some controls. Well, we have our first phone call. Let's go to the phone line right now. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, how you doing, Bob?
Hey. You talking about defunding the police department?
I'm sorry, yeah. About the police?
I've been watching it on the news.
Yeah?
I agree with you. It's a bad idea.
Well, I hadn't finished my idea. You may want to call back and say that you disagree with me, but go ahead.
Because you have a few bad apples in a police department, does not make them all bad. One apple don't make the whole barrel empty.
Well, that's true, but if you leave one apple in the barrel long enough, it'll make them all bad. So you got to be careful.
Right. So,
all right. Thanks, love.
These protests are all.
I'm sorry?
I don't agree with the fact that certain people come in from out of state and whatever and cause the riots to make a notoriety out of themselves.
Well, let's hope that we don't get too many people from out of state coming in to do that.
Right. When you have people that want to do it peacefully, that's fine. But you have these people that come in of different states and these different groups, that is what is causing all the problems.
Okay, well, I'm going to give you a little bit of information on my show today about the two fairly decent outpourings that we had on both Saturdays protesting the police
action.
Downtown
wasn't, I didn't get down there, but from my understanding of downtown, it was nice people was. No big windows and whatever. That's the way to do it.
Yeah, we had a very good show, and the police and the protesters actually held hands and did some things together. So yeah, it was a good show.
Hi.
Thanks for calling in, Bob. Appreciate it.
Great.
Okay. Have a great day.
Bye
bye. All right, one of our. Weekly callers. I love to hear Bob's opinion. We did have an interesting protest. Two interesting protests, but neither one of them called for defunding the police, because I don't think anybody really understood what they meant by defunding the police. Now, we've got a lot of police. In Marion and Marion County and city, I don't think anybody wants to put them out on the street. I think what they're asking for is cut back on the police force and use that money. You know, a lot of the police right now are doing things that they really shouldn't be asked to do, taking care of people that are disabled, taking care of people that are mentally challenged. That's not a policeman's job. A policeman's job is to maintain order and also to to help people. I can remember, and I bet Bob, if you're listening, Bob, I bet you remember this too. When I would go downtown in South Bend, Indiana, which was where I was a young boy, or even Valparaiso when I was a young man, and there were cops on the beat. They actually walked a beat. I remember this more in the 50s and early 60s, where they would walk a beat in downtown South Bend. You would see a cop on the corner of maybe every fifth or sixth street. You'd see a cop. And if you had a question, you could ask the question, and they would have answers for you. If they didn't have an answer, they would get an answer for you. Always trying to serve the community. And there's been an upheaval of discussion in the last 2 weeks about community service of police officers. I have friends that are police officers. I don't have a whole lot here in town, but I do have some, and I don't know of many I would call, as Bob said, a bad apple. Let's go to the phone here. You're on the air. How can we help you?
Hi, Glenn. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Okay. Let's solve all the problems of the world.
Yeah,
tell me.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
It would.
I don't know if Scott mentioned it to you, but I called in this morning about the incident that happened up here on Chestnut Street.
Yes, I was listening to Scott's show when you talked about that.
Yeah, well, that's the thing there, you know. You know, when you look at it, if they want the respect, they got to give respect.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Now, could you tell if the young person was a young boy?
They look like young boy, maybe. I don't know, maybe.
Was he on a bicycle? Did I get that right?
Yeah, he was on a bicycle.
Yeah.
I don't know whether he did something or not. That's not the issue I got.
Mm-hmm.
And heck, he might be guilty of sin or something.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know that to be a fact. But still, you know, the language that was being used would have made the sailors blush.
Is that right? And that was coming from the police officer, right?
Yeah, I was kind of shocked. I was going to say something at the time, but I didn't want to, you know, get in trouble for, they call that obstructing official business.
Yes, that wouldn't be good. And in fact, there probably are laws against you weighing in on that. But the idea that a police officer is using inappropriate language is probably something that I would like to see as part of, they're saying defund the police department. I don't think they mean take the money away. I think they mean angle it in different directions, like vetting the police officers so we don't hire somebody that's going to yell obscenities at people.
Yeah, that's not very good.
No.
Public relations on their part, you know, given all the things that are going on right now, you know. That's the last thing you need is a black eye.
Yeah. Well, and calling somebody names or using obscene language towards somebody only gets the same in response, which just raises the problem up in the air. What if that young person had hollered back at him the same obscenities? Now he's going to think that that person's, you know, going to cause him trouble, and he might pull his gun out of his holster.
Yeah, this is true. I mean, when you're dealing with the situation like you are, you know, the best thing you can do is comply, you know.
Yeah.
Then, you know, go through channels, there's other channels, instead of, you know, using vulgar language.
And, yeah.
And, you know, other stuff like that, you know.
I know you listen to my show occasionally, and again, my dog and I were up late last night talking about exactly what you're saying, only we didn't know you were going to call in and say you listened to a police officer yelling at somebody like that. We need to vet the police officers that we get. We need to we need to put money into the police departments so that we can get value out of the police department. And I think the people that are saying defund the police department are saying take the money away. The policemen shouldn't have to be responsible for mentally ill people. That's not their job. But anyway.
Yeah, there's a lot in it that goes into this. How I missed the march this Saturday up there. I had other obligations to go to. How'd that turn out?
Well, the first Saturday was very strong. We had a good crowd, and we only had, I think, two cars go by, and one of them called the African Americans in our group the N-word, and the other one flipped us off.
So,
oh, wow. Two out of the hundreds of cars that went by us wasn't too bad. Most of them honked and saluted and waved their hands and stuff like that. Now, this last one was a little bit smaller, but we had some very good people that came up and spoke on the microphone that were individuals that spoke, as opposed to, you know, just yelling out chants and stuff like that. So it was very good. I even got inspired to do it. It took me an hour to get up the courage to do it. You'd think a guy that's on the radio wouldn't have any problem talking in the public, but I was pretty outlandish. Not outlandish. I was just outspoken, and so I was a little afraid that I was going to say something I would regret, but I do not, and I enjoyed it. And I think most of the people did. Now, we did not have people go by us and use the N-word, but we did have a couple of people flip us off. But that's what, you know, that's okay. I don't mind that. People letting me know exactly the way they feel about us, and that's fine.
That's true there. You know,
I did.
Everybody's got their own opinion. So.
That's right. I did return the salute once.
You did. Well, I always consider that when they're doing that to me, that they're telling me I'm number one.
Yeah, well, that's what a gentleman that was standing next to me told me exactly that. He said, "You must be number one."
Yeah, so take it as, hey, they believe, you know, I'm number one in their, you know, category.
Yeah, something, yeah.
I just don't let it bother me.
Yeah, I try not to. And I think our police departments have to help train our current police force or hire new ones. I'm not opposed to getting rid of some of the, as Bob said earlier, the bad apples. I'm not opposed to getting rid of the bad apples. I think we need to get rid of the bad apples.
This is very true. I mean, as far as that goes, but, you know, like I said, I was appalled what I heard. I really couldn't believe I heard what I heard.
Yeah, that is shocking.
Yeah, I mean, I said, wow. I said, no. I said,
That kind of lowers the thought process of about, I mean, first of all, it's going to make that person angrier, and it also shows your intelligence, which is pretty low if you're having to stoop to bad words.
Yeah, I like to keep my ears open.
There you go.
I try to make myself aware of what's going on
there you go.
Around me at all times. I mean, and I heard that. Believe me, I'm the last person in the world that wants to make waves.
Well, were you at home or were you driving along and heard this?
No, actually, I was walking up the street with my bicycle on the sidewalk, walking past the situation.
So you heard it very clearly then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In that square minute, the kid on the bike was just sitting there. He wasn't saying a word.
Yeah. Huh. Well, let's just try to make our own police force better.
Amen to that.
All right.
Well, it's a pleasure listening to you.
Well, thank
sir.
You.
Do you know for a fact that they're having one this Saturday?
I do not know yet. And if anybody does know the answer to that, please call in and let us know, because there are people who would like to hear. I think not, but I don't know that for a fact.
All righty. Okay. Well, I'm going to let you go.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in.
Yes, sir.
Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
All right. Interesting. People were very interested in hearing about the protest. I have Facebook fans from all over the country, and they all wanted to know how the second one went. I don't know why. All right, I'm going to pull up another caller here. You're on the air. How can we help you?
Yeah, I'm here again.
Yeah.
You were talking about something in the living area in the South Park and the beach. Well, I lived in South Bend, and I remember that.
Yeah, huh?
All right. They're married. I've seen 90 years ago. They used to have a South Pier walking the beach.
Uh-huh, yep.
And they were able to answer questions, help people out. They weren't nasty. It was either of them.
Uh-huh.
What they need to do is go back to the back and have a couple of cops or whatever walking the beach, and things would be a lot different. But they were back there, you didn't have a lot of problems.
Okay. Well, it, when you lived in South Bend, I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, I don't think you were here when you weren't here back then.
Okay.
But the cops, they walked the beach. If there was something you needed, help or whatever, they were there.
Okay.
But over the years, it has changed. And like I said, one apple should not swallow the whole barrel.
Now, do you think they stopped having the guys walk the beat because it was safer to have two in a car, or?
They walked.
Yeah.
They walked the beat. They didn't go in a car. They were in cars, but they still walked.
Uh-huh.
They walked around.
That's
down
right.
The street.
Yeah. Okay.
They had a certain route. They walked it every day.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and you got to know your beat cop. Which
and you got to know.
Yep.
They weren't nasty. If you need help, they were there.
Yeah. All right. Well,
we need to get back to that.
We both have the same memories, so I guess it must be true, right?
Yeah.
All right.
When I lived in South Bend, when they stopped out there, of course, they're pushing them all around by now, but you had no problem with them. They would take care of business. As long as that ain't problem.
Uh-huh. All right.
All right,
we'll talk to you later then, Bob, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, bye-bye. All right. Nice to have somebody reinforcing what I thought. when I did, why it was nice because you really did, like Bob said, you got to like the guy, you got to know the beat walk, the guy that would walk the beat. You got to respect him, and he got to respect you. Now, I do understand. Now, we lived in a section of South Bend. My dad was the minister at South Bend St. Paul's, which was, I would say, four blocks from what would be called the changing neighborhood, there was a Baptist church right up the street, an African American Baptist church that Dad would take us to because the music was so fantastic, and I'm not so certain that they had beat walkers, guys that walked the beat in that area. We got to find out how we can make it more general, how we can have people find respect for police officers more than they have right now. When I was running for a state representative, I was interviewed by some of the local police. I think it was the sheriff's department. Five or six of the guys interviewed me to determine whether they were going to give me an endorsement. I was told by more than one of my Democratic friends, why are you even going to that? Of course they won't endorse you. You're a Democrat. And I didn't understand that. But I must say, I went to the interview. I tried to tell the people exactly the way I believed, and I could tell when it started to go downhill. I was asked a question about police brutality, And I think I said something to the effect that I don't think police brutality is running rampant in our police departments, but I believe there is police brutality and a lack of understanding amongst some of the members of our police department. I could tell from that point on I had lost them. I don't think that should lose them. I would think that should make our police department sit up and take note. Why would he say that? Maybe I was wrong, but it was my opinion and it was the way I felt, and I was telling them honestly. But I could tell from that point on there was no sense in me even being in that room because I had cut my own throat there. Of the five or six gentlemen that were in that meeting, I followed two or three of them on Facebook. One of them I would say is a friend. I would not say he's a great friend, but he's a friend. And he has opposites political opinions than I do, and that's absolutely fine. But two of the other two that I follow have said things that I thought were not hateful, but unempathetic towards other people. And both of them are white. And I really believe we need to vet our police officers so we find people that know how to speak kindly about everyone. I understand if you've got a drug dealer and a crackhead and they're trying to shoot it out, it's not going to be, oh, come on, guys, let's get together. No, it's not going to be like that. There's going to be problems, and we understand that. But you should be able to handle a black man and a white man identically. And I don't care what you, the fact that we say that the black part of town is the bad part of town is obnoxiously wrong. There are great people in what people would call the black part of town or the bad part of town. There are wonderful people there. And we've got to find out how that we can listen to them and how we can have our police force not put such a stigma on that the person that lives in that area. And that's what I think people are talking about, the defunding of police. It's not to take all money away and have anarchy. It's to reallocate where the money goes. First of all, the cops shouldn't be having to do babysitter work. The cops have a hard enough time just making sure that the houses aren't broken into, and they have a hard enough time making sure that some ignoramus doesn't beat up on his wife, or vice versa. But anyway, I think we need to consider and not use the term. First of all, I think the term defunding police is not the right terminology. I think it's more reallocating where the funding goes, finding better ways to use our police force, and finding better ways to take some of that money maybe and putting it into a positive program to help people that are addicted to crack, to help people that have no money, not necessarily because of their own fault, I mean, or because of their own fault. We need to take care of our brother and sister. We need to find ways to, and I hate to use the term love, but we need to find ways to love each other as opposed to find ways to say, well, he's getting something I'm not getting. That's not fair. Well, quit acting like a child. I'd like to smack people that I hear saying things like that right in the face. And that's kind of where we've gone with all the multi-billionaires. They don't care about you or me. They care about their billions. They care about having their power. And they care about getting more billions. Now, how in the hell can you spend more than $1 billion in a lifetime? I have no idea. Anyway, let me get off my soapbox for right now. One of the other things that was in the news this week that I was very upset about is the fact that there were unnamed military police in the city of Washington, D.C. Why in the world do we allow people to be police in Washington, D.C., who are going to be allowed to carry weapons, wear bulletproof vests, helmets, and batons so that they can beat up on people that are protesting innocently. Now, I understand there are always some people that are going to take the opportunity of breaking a window and grabbing and running and stuff like that. My wife asked an interesting point. She said, why don't the police guard the retail establishments rather than trying to push protesters down the street? That's not a bad question. Why did they do that? Why didn't they have the thousands of cops and other people that they were using as enforcement? Why didn't they put them in front of these retail establishments so that we had less looting and less burning? Don't know. Maybe we didn't have enough, but it sure seemed like we had an awful lot, especially the ones that weren't wearing name tags or where they were from. I find that totally, and I mean absolutely, un-American. I can't believe that anybody put up with that, let alone our executive office, who it looks like our executive office, along with our attorney general, were the ones that instituted that problem. I think we've got to stop that. I did put a tweet out. If they are unnamed, that means, and you don't know where they're from, and we don't know who they're responsible to, does that mean that if I think they're doing something wrong, I can shoot them? I doubt it. All right. I'm not in for shooting anybody, but anyway, that's another story. Then it comes to yesterday, where Georgia had their primary. And it seemed to me like Georgia was doing a dress rehearsal for the fall voting, trying to find the best way to cut as many people out of the voting polls as they could, making it as difficult as possible, forcing people to stand in line for hours to vote, when in fact, all it would take is having people be sent ballots like they did in Iowa. They were sent absentee ballots in Iowa, and it went, they had the highest turnout in, this is Iowa, they had the highest turnout in Iowa that they've ever had for voting in a primary, and it's because they send out absentee ballots and the people were allowed to mail them in. Now I understand the governor of Iowa wants to defund that. He thinks it's wrong. And I hear all the time, well, people cheat if they can mail in their vote. Well, nobody's ever found anybody that cheated mailing in their vote. Our president mails in his vote. Our vice president mails in his vote. Our attorney general mails in his vote. Our the young girl that was just made the spokesperson for, she mailed in her vote. It's okay for the rich guys and the powerful guys, but boy, the poor folks, the black folks, the brown folks, the yellow folks, the red folks, they're all going to cheat. I find that obnoxious, and it just makes me angry. I will not say what I said at the last protest. I don't think I can say that word on the air, but it does make me it turns my stomach. And you can kind of understand why people want to go to violence. However, the violence helps no one. The people use the violence against the protesters and saying, see what happens if we allow you to open your mouth? You loot and you burn. and it doesn't get us anywhere. So put the firebombs down and don't go breaking glass windows of stores that are there. And in a lot of cases, those stores happen to be owned by people that serve that community. I don't understand that either. But Georgia's voting went beyond the pale and turned into an absolute debauchery of democracy. My real concern in the last, I'd say, month, my real concern is we're struggling to find a way. The current administration is struggling to find a way to defund voting. And they're also struggling to find a way to turn what used to be the model democracy in the world into a non-democracy. Do you think they're taking our rights away? We have people that say they want to have their rights, but they're not willing to tell, and I must say right now, the Republican Senate, they're not willing to tell the Senate to do what is right for one man, one vote. It isn't happening. I got so angry the other night, I did call Mr. Portman and tell him just that in so many words. I never got any response. I don't usually expect to get a response. But anyway, I think if you are interested in making a change, you have to do something. And that's kind of where I've been going lately. All right, let's go to the phones. Hello, you're on the air. Hello, you're on the air.
I'm trying to reach Scott Spears. I'm
sorry, you've got the wrong number.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
No, that's the only station number I have. Do you know what the phone number is?
I have no idea. What was the name of the person?
Okay. Scott Spears.
Oh, Scott. I'm sorry, I misheard it. Scott is not on the air right now, and Scott is elsewhere. But he'll be back here, I think. Won't be back until 7 o'clock tonight when we're doing our 6th anniversary show. So if you want to talk to Scott, call the station at 7:15. All right.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Sorry. Thanks for calling in. Bye bye.
All right. Bye bye.
All right. We only have one phone line into the station, so we get all the calls. Well, that's okay. I'm glad to have the caller. She was listening to the station. I heard it in the background. But Scott is not here right now. You're listening to Glenn Coble on A Progressive Life. And here we got another phone caller. You're on the air.
Yes, I just was able to tune in. I've been doing some chores. Were you advocating doing away with the Electoral College?
Doing away with what? The Electoral College? I never thought the use of the Electoral College was a great idea. I understand that it does help the states with lower population because we all have, every state has two votes in the Senate, whereas in the other side of the House, everybody gets a vote based on the percentage of people that they have. So, yeah. I understand why it's there, but this last election, Trump was put in, and he lost the vote by nearly 3 million people, and yet he won Electoral College.
Yeah, however, that 3 million people, that was all in California. You take the California vote out, and he won.
Are you saying the Californians? Wait a minute. Are you saying the Californians aren't Americans? My son lives in California.
I'm saying, I served in the military in California. I'm very familiar with California, but it's a very liberal state.
Okay.
And I don't think you need to elect the president based on one state. If you did away with the Electoral College, middle America would never see a presidential campaign. It was put in by the forefathers for a very good reason.
Okay, what was the reason?
I think it served, well, because it serves all the states, not just a few.
No, that's what I said at the beginning. It gives every state two votes in the Senate. Yep.
Yep, and that's the way the Electoral College is set up.
I understand that.
And I just think I think it would be a huge mistake to do away with the Electoral College, and our forefathers had a brilliant idea with the Constitution and the way that the Electoral College was set up and the way that Congress was set up and the executive and judicial was set up, and I think it'd be a huge mistake to change that.
Okay, I hear
people say, well, Hillary won the popular vote, but you know, it's Hillary and anybody else, everybody that gets in, runs for president, knows how the vote goes. It's not, you know, and they should campaign that way. And if they didn't campaign to get the Electoral College votes, then that's on them. So
okay.
that means they ran a poor campaign.
Okay, I won't disagree with that. I only got about 10 seconds left, so.
Okay, no, that's fine. I just wanted to get in.
Thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
All right.
Yeah, I think he's got a very serious point there, and I do appreciate his calling in. We're about off the air. You're listening to Glenn Coble on A Progressive Life, and we're going to call it a day.
Two Irishmen and a Hebrew, one went out for recreation, and they took enough provisions along to spend a week's vacation.